Revolutionary Gospel
Blog
News.
Talk Radio.
All right, how are you guys doing today? This is Arthur Joseph Smith coming to you guys live from Revolutionary Gospel News. First of all, before I start my show today, I'd like to apologize about yesterday. Yesterday, for whatever reason, I couldn't get the music to turn off and it's just playing through. And I couldn't speak, so I had to end the episode yesterday. But today, people, the lines will be open for you to make your comments and call in and whatever you want to do. And I thank you guys for coming back today. Today, show's about the seven-headed dragon in the book of Revelation as well as the book of Daniel. But it talks about the seven-headed dragon at the period of time that we live in. And a lot of times, people look at the seven-headed dragon as a monster or something like that. They don't look at it as the guy. They were talking in a symbolic sense. They were not talking about an actual seven-headed dragon, but it was symbolic. It was metaphorically speaking. And a lot of people don't understand. That's why today the Bible is greatly misunderstood, because people do not understand. The Bible is written in a metaphor. And it wasn't meant for a person to pick it up and read it and have some understanding, great understanding of the Bible, have a great understanding of the Bible. The Bible was meant to be spiritually discerned. I noticed that a lot in today's time, you have a lot of people who sit back and get these modern day versions, and it really loses a lot of meaning. You lose what that scripture is actually talking about, because in the translation or them trying to make it plain, they take out some key words in those scriptures. And the problem is with the people, they don't understand that it was meant to be spiritually discerned. So the average person will not pick it up and just be able to grab the book and say, oh, I'll explain it to you. They can't, you know, because the Bible is something, if you have never been born again, first of all, and of course, I think I talk about that about every show I'm on, you know, Jesus talked about in John 3, the Gospel of John, John 3 and 5, and actually verse 5, where I'm going to pick up at, it says, verse 3 too, because it says, except you've been born again, you cannot understand the kingdom of heaven. I'm paraphrasing that. So they could not see, and that see really represents understanding the Bible. They don't understand the kingdom of heaven. They don't understand the things that pertain to the kingdom of heaven. And you have a lot of that going on today. People go out to churches and they feel, hey, I just did what they told me. You actually just did what that preacher told you. You have not followed the scriptures. You followed the preacher saying. And this is John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 3. It says, and Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot understand the things that really pertain to the kingdom of God. He might have a little insight into it, but he's not going to really understand the overall picture and what's really going on. And then Jesus answered again and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Then there's the next requirement. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Okay? And we find water and spirit because, you know, I hear a lot of people try to argue about baptism, but Ephesians 4 teaches there's just one baptism. So there's not, you can't say, well, I'll just baptize this way, or I have a lot of people that they do today, they go baptize in Matthew's 28:19, where it talks about, go ye therefore baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, not understanding that it's a specific. Because I'm a father, I'm a son, and I'm a brother, but what is my name? It says, in the name of. They missed that. And then the Gospel of Luke tried to clarify. It actually clears up that situation, because that's Jesus again speaking in Luke 24. And he tells you, and I'm still at the dragon, I'm just saying why people have a problem understanding these scriptures. Why can't they understand when they look at it, what they're reading, and understand that the Bible is written in a metaphor, and what helps you get past that barrier that's stopping you from understanding the scriptures. And here he said again in Luke 24, because people get stuck on Matthew's, and this is Jesus speaking. Okay, because he was talking about it in the name. He says, Father, in chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, he talked about, Father, I have revealed thy name. He says, the Holy Ghost shall come in my name, and his name was Jesus. Okay, so in the name, what was that name? Okay, then open ye their understanding. This is Luke 24 and 45. Then open ye their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. He opened the understanding, their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. See, so if God does not open your mind, this is a closed book to you. If you don't have his spirit, this is a closed book to you. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And look at this, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, not wrong people, beginning at Jerusalem. Everybody pretty much have a religion out here or some kind of church. They all originated from Rome. I'm talking about the church that originated from Jerusalem, where everything started. I said, and ye are witnesses of these things. He says, and he goes on to tell you, and behold, I send the promise of my Father up on you. Tarry ye, wait. And tarry means wait, and ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endured with power from on high. And then you see the day of Pentecost come, and that's what they did. They literally were teaching the true born-again process, not a religious experience, but what the scripture had taught about the true born-again experience. You got a lot of people out there telling people about being born again, but don't understand the true born-again process. It says when the day of Pentecost, and this is Acts 2, is when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly they came with sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of, and set upon each of them. And it says as of fire. Let me skip that, okay. And they were all filled. Notice this, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And you go back to, which is Acts 1, what did he tell his people in 1 and 8? And see, this is what is missing. This is why nobody can explain the book of Revelation and Daniel to you. Okay, this is Acts 1 and 8. It says, But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. After, not before, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judah, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. They shall be witnesses, that which they taught. So they go on. He asks a question and jump in and show you in Acts 2 they were in Jerusalem so that they received the Holy Ghost, though not before they had it. They became witnesses. So a person claiming they're a witness, claiming they're a messenger of God without the Holy Ghost is a liar. That's not a witness. How can you be something that you're not a part of? Because Romans tells you that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you're not a part of this, how are you going to explain this to the people? How are you going to open their mind up to something that you don't have and you're not a part of? You have not even been accepted in. You know, and I'm still going on to the seven-headed dragon. He goes on to say, and this is Romans 8 and 9, okay? This is chapter 8, verse 8 and verse 9. Chapter 8 of Romans, verse 8 and 9. It says, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwelleth in you, have you been born again, people? Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not a part of this. And I'm still going on to the seven-headed dragon. I'm just getting about trying to clarify because a lot of people think they can explain the Bible without doing what the Bible said. Okay? And I still haven't finished with showing you where they were in Jerusalem, but real quick, and I ask all of you out there who's listening to this station this question that Paul asked. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul having passed through the upper coast to Ephesus and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? What makes you know you're a true believer? Have you been adopted in the family? Like you said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, so have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now notice this, what they're going to tell you. The preacher ain't telling them this. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. They don't even know that's a requirement of a true believer. Okay, they don't even know that they have to have the Holy Spirit. Then Peter said unto them, then Paul said, no, verse 3 says, and he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? Which way were you baptized? And they said, unto John baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized, notice, in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we're going back to where he told them, go there, wait in Jerusalem. He wanted repentance and remission of sin. The first we preach in Jerusalem. Okay. But my question is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe, people? If you, what you got is so true. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, the ability. And it says they were dwelling at Jerusalem, like he told them, Jews, devout man out of every nation under heaven. Now, when they heard this noise, when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speaking in his own language. It wasn't some unknown tongue, as you see going on in these apostatic churches as well as these first churches, these babbling tongues with nobody understanding. They'll come and tell you, have you been baptized in your name, brother? In evidence speaking in tongues. It was the language, people. It wasn't an unknown language. Notice verse 7 says, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these Galilean, are all not these which speak Galilean? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? See, it wasn't an unknown tongue. It was a language. And they were talking stuff they could understand. But they were hearing them in their language, the Holy Ghost language. You know, they were actually sitting there speaking to the people. Wasn't some peeping and muttering, as the Bible called it in Isaiah 8. We read about past 16. You see, it's wizards. That's what he called those people practicing that. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. This is verse 21. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know. See, Jesus, a man, not a God, no Trinity there. God was working through him. Okay, therefore, this verse 36, let all the house know surely that God has met that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, now notice he told them, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, they want a clarification. Why do we apply that to our life? Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, here go repentance and remission of sin being preached in his name. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. In other words, fully submerged for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call. So how are you called by God and you skip the true born-again experience? The blood of Christ is not applied to you unless you've been baptized in Jesus' name. He said he washed us in Revelation 1 and 5. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. So you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. In the infilling of the Holy Ghost, water and spirit, or else you will not enter into the kingdom of God. This is why so many of you are blind to what revelations mean, because you don't have the spirit. In 2 Corinthians, I'm not going to read that because I'll get into a whole lot of things and probably lose some of the interest. I don't doubt all the interest, but 2 Corinthians tell you they're spiritually. God is given to us by his spirit. They are spiritually discerned. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 2 Corinthians. Okay? 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. It tells you that in 2 Corinthians, that chapter 2. It lets you know these things are spiritually discerned. So you're not just going to be able to walk up on it and look at it and take it and read it and say, oh, man, I got it. Or it means this to me, or it means that to me. The Bible clearly states to us in Matthew 13, Jesus speaking, he answered and said unto them, because the disciples asked him in verse 10, it says, the disciples came and said unto them, why speakest thou unto them in the parable? The same way the Bible is written. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries, that which is concealed of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Okay, if you ain't been born again, it's not given for you to understand. He says, for whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundant. But whosoever has not, for him that be taken away even that which he has. Therefore speak I unto them in a parable, because they see not, they hear not, neither do they understand. Okay? Because they have skipped the true born again experience. So now I'm speaking for clarification of what is going on today. We're speaking about the seven-headed dragon. Who was this seven-headed dragon? It's first time we look at this dragon. I'll start where the most notable part that people talk about the seven-headed dragon, which is in Revelation, and also it's in the book of Daniel. Okay, I'm going to go to Revelation first, and I'll jump to Daniel in a second. But that's the problem, people. They don't have the spirit, so they can't understand. Okay, let's start here, because I'm going to leave that for a little close. Let's start at 12, Revelation 12. I saw, and then he's going to tell you stuff he's saying. You got to think he's speaking metaphorically. He's not speaking figuratively. And I saw an angel, mighty. It said, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. This is verse, I'm in the wrong chapter 12 of Revelation. And you guys are more than welcome to call in. Like I said, I will open the lines to you guys today. And for you who want to call in and comment or ask a question, the number again is going to be, the area code is 773-897-6105. Once again, that number is 773-897-6105. Okay, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and up on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and in pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, you know what it says, 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns up on his head. And he drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God, to his throne. Okay? Yeah. So we see, and I'm going to go back and explain, but I'm going to read the scriptures first. Let's go down to what is verse 7. It says, and there was war in heaven, and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels, and prevailed not, neither was there a place found any more in heaven. So they've been defeated, and they've been cast out. And that great dragon was cast out, that old devil called the devil, I mean that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, deceived it in the process of ETH, deceived the whole world, he was cast out unto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. They were defeated in heaven, now they're down here with us. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Notice this. And of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. He knows he has been defeated. But you go back up, you see this is an old, so they appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns up on his head. And he talks about how he drew the third part. That's the angels that followed his rebellious against God's rule and authority. So you see that dragon is the devil. Okay, you see that that child would have to be in reference to Jesus because he was caught up into God. And you see the time of Satan being vanquished from him was when Jesus went on up into the heavens. He was defeated because you find out in verse 11, this defeated army is down here. The angels and him are down here with us now. I heard a loud voice in heaven. Now has come salvation. What come on the day of Pentecost but salvation? And the strength, you know, and the kingdom. It says in the spirit, and when he talks about in chapter 17, it tells you the kingdom of God comes without observing. That's Luke 17. Comes without observing, and it shall be in you. So they all were filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. So you see the kingdom of God has arrived on earth on the day of Pentecost. In the power of his Christ, that's the Holy Ghost. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So during the time of the birth of the kingdom of God here, because he's been defeated, and now they were set up to defeat him here on earth, he's been cast out. But you see the seven-headed dragon with 10 horns. You pick back up, you'll find that in Revelation 17. Okay. I'll just go ahead and read through it till we get to the seven-headed dragon. And then here's the breakdown, really, of who the seven-headed dragon is. That's what I'm about to give you, what it all actually means. Because what this is really in reference to is a system that is run by Satan. He's in control of it. Notice he's the dragon, the seven-headed dragon, his 7 powers. And it said, and it came one of the 7 angels, and this is chapter 17 of Revelation, which had the 7 vials talking with me, saying unto me, come here, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that set it upon. Was delusional with her fornication, with her wine of her fornication. Excuse me. And so he carried me away into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting up on a scarlet colored beast, that red dragon, full of names of blasphemy, and having, look at this, 7 heads and 10 horns. So, okay, is it going to be a dual meaning in these scriptures to one of the references to one of the heads? But you see that the dragon, the devil, is carrying this woman. And notice the kings of the earth have committed fornication. They're in bed with her. They're participating in their evil. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones, pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication, that cup of democracy. That's what that golden cup is in reference to. It's up on her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots, all false religion, and abominations of the earth. Abominations, everything that is contrary to God. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. So we find out this woman is going to kill the saints. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. What is a martyr? A martyr is not one of those who blow up themselves as in the Islamic faith or what they call a faith. That ain't nothing but the spirit of the Antichrist. But to blow up themselves, that's not martyrdom. That's suicide. A true martyr is somebody who's been killed to keep silent the information, the light they can bring to a situation and bring about a true understanding of what is going on. That is what a martyr is. So the martyrs of Christ, those who bring true revelations to this, and not only that, those who expose the evil and show how it is contrary to God in Christ. Okay? He said, and the angel said unto me, why did thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carried her, which had the 7 heads and 10 horns. Okay? The beast that thou saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit from hell, and go into perdition, into destruction. And they that dwelleth on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast, the Antichrist, that was and is not and is yet to come. So those people who are going to fall asleep, a lot of people believe they're not going to be a part of this movement that they have going on with ISIS. But they are going to be a part, because the movement with ISIS is an ideology. It is the spirit of the Antichrist. And it tells you, though all those who are not written in the book of life are going to follow the beast. Okay? It's kind of funny how it's jumping, talking about the 10 horns, and the beast itself is talking about the Antichrist that was and is not and yet is. In other words, you don't see him, but he's here. Believe that. Jalal al-Taliban, he is around. And it's a former person. He was Sunni, 20th government, 20% Sunni, and that's the same people taking back over the Middle East. Excuse me, people. Here's the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. People say that's Rome. That's not Rome. It's the 7 continents. See, they are 7 kings. 5 are fallen. 1 is, and 1 is yet to come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was, that's the Antichrist, and is, even he is up to 8. Now, let me explain. Go ahead and break this down for you guys. And by no means is it something I can do. It is only because I've actually been born again. I've actually received the Holy Ghost, and it is God has blessed my understanding. It ain't like I just come up with something. Let's look at the thing, because everybody's looking for this 7-headed beast, okay? It is in our serpent or whatever, dragon. It was in our time. It's called the Big Three during World War II. And then here's the nation. And it's also written in my book in chapter page 42 called The Revival of the Roman Empire, where I break down the rise and fall of world government according to Daniel's vision. Not something I think, but what can be proven. And you want the second edition if you get this book, called The Arrival of the Roman Empire, The Rise of the Antichrist, and the Return of Christ. So they count me down, people. I got 90 seconds to give you this, and you can pick up tomorrow on the rest of it. The kings. It says 5 are fallen, 1 is. Okay, during World War II, the first one to go was Italy. Then after that was Nazi Germany, then Japan. Then from there, with Britain faded off the scene during the wall. That's number 5. That's Russia. Number 6 is America, the housing market. Number 7, which is coming, is the EU. 8 is going to be that caliphate. That's the Arab nations, which is part of the 8. They're going to join together with the EU. I thank you guys for giving me your time. I tried to pick up where I left off yesterday on the beast and explain that to you instead of telling people name and who they are, but that's who they are. They are the Antichrist. Tomorrow about the same time. Oh, wait a minute. I won't be on the same time because I'm going to be on radio with Man Empowerment tomorrow. You guys might want to catch that. We're going to be talking about the books I wrote. And I'd like to just thank you guys for coming out. You know, I wrote 3 books, The Revival of the Roman Empire, The Devil Workshop. That's the second one. And then the third was The Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation, and The Temple Mount. All can be found on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books a Million. You guys, they count me down. I thank you guys for your time. Once again, this is Revolutionary Gospel News, and I'll probably be on the radio late tomorrow or on Thursday. You guys have a great evening, and thank you for giving me your time. Bye.